I really do. I had prayed that and hoped that the Bibles would be here today for those who were baptized the two Sundays prior, 2 weeks ago, and the Sunday before that, but they didn't arrive. They were mailed, and they will be here, according to the postman, no later than Monday, but possibly Saturday, which was yesterday. Well, they didn't make it yesterday, so Monday. So seven of you got a new Bible coming. Your name is inscribed in the front of it, and the Boykins in Fort Worth have made that possible, and their intent, I think, is to do that for everybody that gets saved in these months to come and go through the experience of water baptism. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So pray with me earnestly for the need before us, especially the music need. Not that we don't love those that are good singers here. Sister Judy's a good singer. Sister Vett, Sister Chambers, others of you can sing. I cannot. You already knew that, didn't you? But I still will try. The book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 14. 3 and 14. I want to preach this morning on this thought. Those that are neither cold nor hot. Those that are neither cold nor hot. That's a breathtaking statement. So listen carefully. The book of Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Notice the writer here. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now those are words identifying Jesus Christ. He's the Amen. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the beginning of the creation of God. Now, those three descriptions of Christ could easily be preached and used the time of this sermon, because they are breathtaking statements. They refer back to the first chapter of Revelation, because in the first chapter of Revelation, there are 41 titles given concerning Jesus Christ. And these are three of them. 41, and these are only three, but it identifies these words as from Jesus Christ. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's a shattering kind of statement there. And I don't mean to make you afraid when I use it. I'm simply giving you what Jesus said. If you're neither cold nor hot. Now you must have been hot at one times. From the very context of this statement. And you have cooled off, lost your fire, and so now you are lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. A lukewarm person would have to be a person that knows a lot of things about the Lord. It would have to be a person that at one time was converted and was saved and knew Jesus and loved him and served him. So, no question here, you're having a message from Jesus to people that used to be on fire for the Lord. They used to have a zeal that possessed them, that was marvelous. But now that zeal has vanished, and they're simply lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I beg of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I like that kind of gold. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Last verse to read, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Father, help me preach this morning. Somebody is here for which this sermon has been planned. Father, I didn't plan it. I planned simply what you poured into my heart this past week, and I'm preaching what you have given me, and now you take it and use it. Don't just let it touch one or two, but let it touch everybody present this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Now, I don't think there's any doubt that the sermon is always when the Holy Spirit gives it to you. And I can tell you, I know he gave this to me. He always plans it for somebody that is maybe in the valley of decision. Somebody that's at a point in their life that they need to make a choice. Somebody that is at a place in which they need to move forward. Move out of the state in which they have fallen into. And move into a different realm and a different place. And I pray that this sermon will have that effect. I had a visitor yesterday, a mother, grandmother, who used to sit right over here. She's now moved to Myrtle Beach, where she lives in an assisted living place with her husband. They're both well over 80 years of age and unable now to go about on their own. But she came with her daughter to get a copy of a CD from our church that the husband wants, and his birthday of 90 some years is coming up, and he had one request for a CD from this church, a particular CD that we have available, and they came to get it for him. While they were here, and this is part of my sermon, they told me of the son of this family. He would have to be 50 something. And he recently lives in another town, but he came to Jesus. Really repented. The mother had been praying for him. I'd prayed many times for him. Just a precious young man that had just got away and got bitter and got kind of turned off and just, you know, out there. And he came to the Lord and really got saved. He came to the Lord and really got saved. Well, one of the first things he did, he went online and found our internet ministry and began to pull down sermons and listen to them. And he started sending them to his sister at Myrtle Beach. And then he started putting them up on his Facebook to some, I think, 155 people, they told me, that he now sends the sermons of this church to them to help them turn to the Lord as he has turned to the Lord. Now, we prayed for this young man many years ago, and long ago, his name probably passed from my memory. I remembered him, but I must confess, I had not been praying for him. I had prayed for him many times back then, and those prayers finally got answered by both his mother and Brother Chambers and some of you that prayed back then, and now he has come to Christ, and really come to Christ. And really getting on fire for the Lord. Would you say, praise the Lord? See, it's amazing. You never know when down the road something that happened years ago comes to fruition and God answers a prayer. Well, this sermon is about that kind of thing. It's about people that used to be on fire, used to burn with zeal, burn with excitement, burn with joy. But somehow they lost that joy. Now, the story is context in the seventh of the seven letters in the book of Revelation. Jesus had seven letters written to his churches. The last act of Jesus concerning the church was to give us this book and to send us these seven letters. And this is letter number seven. It speaks of the church of the last generation, the Laodicean church. Now, I don't know anybody that doesn't believe that the seven letters start with Ephesus, which was the church of the first century, and the last letter, Laodicea, ends with the 21st century and the church of the closing era, the closing time at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, excuse me. You know he's talking about the coming of the Lord because he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, that's not just talking about judgment because someone died in sin. That's not just talking about the things that happens to people through the centuries because they didn't have time for God. That's talking about people who are alive, who have no fire, who used to have great fire, but now it's all gone, it's gone out, and they're but lukewarm. Now, I know, when you think about a lukewarm Christian, let's kind of talk about that a minute. I'm not sure I know how to describe a lukewarm Christian. I know it's somebody that used to have fire. Excuse me. I know it's somebody that used to really have the joy of the Holy Ghost in their life. I know it's somebody that used to be thrilled about the name of Jesus and the things of God, but somehow the world had its effect. And the world cooled them off and took away that light and took away that joy and took away that satisfaction and left them with nothing but just a kind of lukewarmness. Now, if you're like me, I can't stand lukewarm things. It's either got to be hot or it's got to be cold. When I drink my coffee, I take it out of the pot, hot for many people, as hot as they can stand it, and I put it in the microwave 1 minute and a half with about 2 cups of it, and I put it in the microwave for 1.5 minutes. I have to watch the last 10 seconds lest it boils over, and then that's my coffee to drink. That's how I like it. Well, I just kind of think that's a spiritual thing, in a sense, because the Father wants us red hot. He wants us on fire. What did Jesus say the time of John the Baptist? What did John the Baptist say, really? John the Baptist said he's coming and he's going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and what? And with fire. Fire. How many want fire in your testimony? How many want fire in your walk with God? How many want fire in your daily life? How many want fire in your testimony and in the things you're living and the things you're doing? That's what I want. I want the fire of God. I've got to have the fire of God. Now, a cool person has lost their testimony. They may try to testify, but it doesn't have a spark to it. They've lost their witness. They are honestly, in most cases, are afraid to try to witness because they know it's kind of sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It doesn't have any real anointing to it. And then when they come to worship, a person who's only lukewarm will find it hard to raise hands and to hold up arms and to sing with joy. They find when others are shouting and praising God, they're just kind of looking on because the fire is gone. They're lukewarm. They have no zeal. They're not obedient. They're not doing the will of God. Now, I know there's a lesser place. It's a place of being backslid, where they just lost all of it, and they're living in sin and doing their own things and going in their own way. And that state is desired of the Lord rather than lukewarm. Now, I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed at that. Let's talk about that a minute. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, these are religious people. These are people in the middle of the things that the church would speak of and be a part of. But they've lost their zeal. They've lost their fire. They've lost their anointing. Now, I want to try to help us understand this morning why the Lord here has such a feeling, such an emotion against the lukewarm person. Why? Why is that such a dark thing in this picture? Why is that such a dark thing in this picture? Well, before I go to the Bible here, all I would say is look at the church world. Look at the church world. The church world is a lukewarm disaster. The church world is a lukewarm disaster. Most people go to church today and they really get tired of the deadness in the house of God. Now, we're a little less lively sounding this morning because of the absence of the regular music. And I understand that, and I think you would understand that. But I'm here to tell you, being on fire and being zealous for the Lord is something that music shouldn't have anything to do with. We're here to praise God. We're here to bless the name of the Lord. If you believe that, throw your hand up and tell him how much you love him. And tell him, hey, I'm here to bless the name of the Lord. I'm here to praise the... Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I've had an on-fire week. I really have. Some of the best prayer times. I mean, just wonderful moving of the Holy Ghost. And I don't wait till I come to church to do my shouting. I'm here to tell you, I spend a lot of time not in church, but shouting and praising and magnifying the Lord and singing in the Holy Ghost and singing in the Spirit and living close to Him. I've got to have fire. I really have. But God has a passion against a lukewarm condition. The Lord has a passion against a lukewarm condition. Now, I really want you to hear this. I want you to hear why. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Trying to understand why the Lord speaks here so strongly against a lukewarm condition, it made me want to know why. It made me want to study in the Bible what is the condition of a lukewarm person. Well, look at these words, and again, Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, now you understand, he is saying here's a person living by faith, and they draw back. They quit living by faith. They cease that anointed walk with God. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If any man draw back, the Lord said, the Holy Ghost said, the Spirit of God said, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. There's something about a fellowship that God has with a saint. There's something rich about the fellowship that the Lord feels in me when I'm on fire for Him. When I pray and pray with the Spirit and I pray in the joy and I sing melodies of worship and love unto my Father, that He actually receives pleasure in that. He receives joy in that. The Lord feels joy when you worship Him. I'm here to tell you, if you wonder why I often say raise your hands or invite you to worship and to get involved, it's because I'm telling you the Lord Jesus has pleasure in your worship. He has pleasure in your praise. He has pleasure in your confidence in Him. He has pleasure when you trust Him. He has pleasure when you obey Him. He has pleasure when you walk with Him. He is blessed by it. Oh, you say, but he's up there, and I'm telling you, him being up there don't have anything to do with his consciousness of you, with his love for you, with his commitment to you. And he has pleasure when you worship him. He has pleasure when you love him. And when you have had pleasure in him, and he has had pleasure in you, and you suddenly lose it, he misses it. And he says, I have no pleasure. My soul has no pleasure in the person that draws back. Now, I want to try to help you understand that. I know people who have loved me. I think of one person in particular who treated me as a father. Who treated me with a love that was so wonderful and so sweet. I mean, just a beautiful pastoral relationship with a beautiful member of the kingdom of God. And the fellowship and the relationship was great. Suddenly, I lost it. Suddenly, I lost that fellowship. And I can tell you that I have missed it. I have grieved about it. I have felt the pain of it. I have tried to go to sleep at nights, and the pain of it would come over me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. A mother and a dad who has had a child who was near and close, and suddenly they are away. My Teresa has almost gone insane over Andrew being in France. It is so much of a pressure upon her that she can hardly stand it. She can hardly deal with it. not having the husband to deal with and to lean on. She's had to lean upon Andrew. He's the one man in her life, and him there and her here is a relationship that you understand in relation to this sermon. Having this person move away is heart-rending, and that's what the Lord is saying here. He is saying, I've loved this person. They have cared for me. They've had fire about me. They've had fire for me and love for me. It's been a beautiful thing, but now I've lost it. And the Lord says, my soul. Raise your hand with me a minute. Hallelujah. Somebody in this house this morning. God brought you here to hear this message that God grieves over the loss of that passionate love that he shared with you. He said, my soul shall have no pleasure and that person who draws back from me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then verse 30, but we are not. Oh, we are not. Hey, I want you to hear this one. And I want everybody that will to join me with it. And we are not, but we are not of them. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. That's judgment. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. You say, I'm saved. No, you're being saved. You're not saved. You're being saved. You've been born again. You've become a new creature. You belong to Christ. You're loving him. You're serving him. But the Bible makes it plain that the Christian walk is a walk of salvation. It's a walk of continuation. Apostle Paul said himself, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have been saved. I am being saved. I'm going to be finally and completely and ultimately saved. Hallelujah. I'm a born again Christian. I'm dependent on God. He's real to me. I hope he knows I'm real to him, but if my soul would draw back, it would break the heart of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're backslider this morning, I want you to know that God grieves over you. I want you to know that God feels the pain of your departure. I want you to know that God feels a passionate love of you, a passionate love for you, and he reaches to you with a passion of a father, with a passion of a redeemer, and invites you back to him. Oh, somebody help me preach this morning. I know I bring you the word of the living God. I love those verses. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. There's something in this Bible. There's something in this Holy Scripture that really, really reaches to my heart that shows me how God grieves over a backslider. In the Old Testament, the prophet said that God is married to the backslider. Have you ever heard that term before? That's in the Bible. God is married to the backslider. What is he saying? He is saying that the heart of God misses the departure and the loss of that servant of his. He misses that wonderful nearness. He misses that togetherness. He misses that blessedness. He misses all the wonderful time you and he enjoy it together. And he's waiting for you to come home. You remember the story of the prodigal son. How the father was way down the road in the direction the son was coming before he even knew he was coming. And saw him from a great way off. And ran to meet him. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, if you've been away from God, all you got to do is stand up on your feet when the time comes you in this sermon and say, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. And literally head in the direction of the King of Kings. And I guarantee you one thing, if you mean it, he'll meet you in the aisle and kiss away your backsliding. He'll meet you in the aisle and show the passion and love of grace unto you. Hallelujah. He's looking for you. He's reaching for you. Am I right, Yvette? Am I right, Brother Ken Harris? Am I right, Brother Tim? I'm here to tell you, His grace is marvelous. His grace is marvelous. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. Now, I got to take you to 2 Hebrews. 2 Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 20. Now, would you look for it in the Bible now? Because this sermon is extremely important. There's such a... Brother Allen, there's a multitude out there that used to be on fire for God. You know a lot of them, don't you? They used to have the anointing, the sweetness, the grace. But, oh, we live in the day of apostasy. Does anybody know what the word apostasy means? Could I take a moment before I go to the scripture and explain the word apostasy? The Bible said there would come this great falling away. That word falling away is exactly in the Hebrew the word apostasy. It does not mean backsliding completely, totally, utterly. It means the removal of oneself from the place of fire and devotion. It means removing of oneself from the place of bearing the pressure of, bearing the burden of. It means removing yourself from the place of taking up your cross and following Him into a lesser state of coolness or a backslid condition, or really a place of lukewarmness. That's what apostasy is. It's just plain lukewarmness. It's just being lukewarm. No wonder He wrote this to the church of Laodicea. No wonder He wrote it to the last day church. No wonder He wrote it to us in this generation. It fits like a glove. Because it's a picture of this generation. Multitudes and multitudes. I'm a Pentecostal. I was saved 62 years ago. We would visit churches all over the community. I remember Sister Chambers one time, we were passing through Jackson, Mississippi. And we decided we would go to the church that was the home of two of the most wonderful men that were then preaching and singing in the church of God. They were men that everybody loved. One of them preached a lot of camp meetings. Pastored the North Cleveland Church of God. His name was Ronald. The other sung at places all over the country. His name was Steve. Steve Brock and Ronald Brock. And we went to their home church. Their home church had to sit in the aisle in a chair because the place was full. And it was a moving of the Holy Ghost that was sweet and rich and wonderful. Hallelujah. It was absolutely grand. It was absolutely grand. And that's how it was everywhere you went. It was on fire. It was a moving of God's Holy Ghost. But now, most churches are just barely lukewarm. Barely lukewarm. I said barely lukewarm. Well, that's the picture. The Laodicean church. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. All right, go with me to the book of 2 Peter. Chapter 2. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The latter end of a backslider who had once lived in sin, came to Christ, went back to sin, the latter end is always worse. The bondage of the latter end is worse. The person in this latter end state will find themselves so hungry to get back to God. So hungry to be back where they were. I'll guarantee you, I've heard Ken testify of it. I guarantee you, Yvette could testify of it. I guarantee you there's others here who could testify of how they felt in that backslid condition. How they longed to be out of it. How they longed to be free of it. How they longed to come back but couldn't get back because it seemed like they were tangled and tied and bound and fettered. He said this. He said it very clearly. the latter end is worse with them than was the beginning. For it had been better for them, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. Better to have never been saved than to die a backslider. Never. Better to never have known the Lord than to die back in sin, back in the grips of the world. Oh, that's what he's saying. It's powerful. It's powerful. Please don't anybody here think I planned this sermon for you. I didn't plan a thing. The Holy Ghost laid this on my heart and poured it to me every word before I walked on this campus this morning. I'm here to tell you, he's talking to us. He's talking to you, every one of you who's saved. And maybe the Lord has been really dealing with you. And you've had such a work of Satan trying to push you back and trying to break the hold of Christ upon your heart and your life. I'm preaching to you this morning. Don't you let the devil win. Don't you let the devil overcome you. Don't you let the devil turn you around. Don't you let the devil make you backslide. It may well be that you never come back. No, Siri, raise a hand and pray with me. Sweet Holy Ghost, will you have your way this morning? Sweet Holy Ghost, sweet Holy Ghost, sweet Holy Ghost, give somebody the tenacity to stand up right on their feet and say, no way, devil, no way, devil, you're not taking me to your devil's hell. I'm going the Lord's way. I'm turning around. I'm turning back. I'm coming back to my Redeemer and my Savior. Raise your hand and just worship. The great Holy Ghost is present in this place this morning. This is his house. This is his place. This belongs to him. Hallelujah. The devil can't destroy it because it belongs to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? Oh, I believe that with every bit of me. Hallelujah. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. Now listen. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. Oh, this is a little bit tough to read. Because I don't want anybody to think I'm accusing nobody. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. For it's happened according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit. I was raised on the farm. I've seen a dog get sick and then return to consume his vomit, and I would walk up and give him a kick and run him off and refuse it because it was so nasty. But that's what happens when a believer turns back to sin. That's what happens when a believer turns away from the Lord. Don't you let nothing make you turn away. Because if you ever do, you just remember you're going back to that old vomit that you spit up when you repented and came to Christ 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You hear me, boys? And little lady, the Flores, I love you kids. I'm so happy you could go to youth camp. And one of them got so tired he's asleep this morning because he's been up all week in youth camp. They'll tell him what I said when they get home. Don't tell him till you get home now. He'll be embarrassed. But listen, let me tell you, don't you ever let nothing turn you around. It's a joy to know the King of Kings. I got saved when I was 16. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful to God that I never went back. Never. Happened according to the true proverb. The dog is returned to his own vomit. Now, do you understand why God cannot handle lukewarmness? Can you understand why God will regurgitate himself, that person who has become lukewarm, who's given up the fire of God, who's turned away from the moving of the Holy Ghost? Do you understand what the Bible is saying? Do you understand why God will spew the lukewarm out of his mouth? What you're really saying is God will spew that man out of his mouth that's gone back to his vomit. God will spew that woman out of his mouth who's gone back to her vomit. God will spew that person out of their mouth that's gone back to the mire of the pig pen. Oh, listen to me. This is the word of the living God. And God loves you. God loves you with a never dying love, an ever growing, increasing love, an ever exploding love. That love is to you because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you with a passion. And God can't handle one of his children turning away from him. Oh, Father, can you imagine a Marlon Clark who has been right here 30 to 40 years, and I'm not sure how many. I don't know whether he knows. 35? What is it? 35 years. Can you know what it would be like to suddenly hear he has backslid? Marlon, I couldn't handle it. If it ever happens, I'm going to get a ball bat and come after you, boy. You want me to, don't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, well, it's not going to happen. Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about it. But I'm telling you, it's terrible. It's terrible when you suddenly somebody that turns around goes back to that, goes back to that, goes back to that. And that's why the Bible says that he will spew that person who's lukewarm out of his mouth. What is he talking about now? What is he spewing them to? These are people living in the time of the coming of the Lord. This is the church that is right here on this earth now, watching for the rapture to take place. On the verge of Jesus coming. So this crowd of lukewarm people will be spewed into the great tribulation. They will be spit out of the mouth of the Lord into the great tribulation. I went and made a visit last night. I made three, in fact, last night. But the third one I made is one of the sweetest couples that I could name. I would not name them, of course. But they're just really wonderful people. Both of them work good jobs, make good money. I don't know how much. Maybe they've spent it all. I really don't know. But I know they're precious people. Just on the verge. And the Holy Ghost sent me there. I knew it. And I looked them in the face and I said, the Holy Ghost sent me here to your house tonight. I'm telling you, God's wanting you to turn around. God's wanting you to turn around. They're in the state that a person who is lukewarm or backslid, and I would say they're backslid, but they would say they're lukewarm. When a person is in that state, it's like they are locked up in a vice. It's almost impossible to make a choice and to turn around. But somebody here this morning, God's talking to you. You've been away. You've become lukewarm. You've allowed your fire to dissipate. Maybe completely gone. Maybe sin's taken over. It don't matter to me. I'm not here to judge you. Whatever state you're in, from the place of being on fire for God or being completely away from God, I'm not here to judge you of what level that is. I'm just here to invite you back to the King. I'm here to invite you back to the lover of your soul. I'm here to invite you back to the mercy of heaven, the mercy of heaven, to come to the one who with passion reaches for you, with love is willing to meet you. You won't have to beg him. He's already reaching to you. All you got to do is surrender. And he says, come home, children, come home. It's supper time. Oh, somebody help me, will you? God's calling this morning. God's calling. I'm trying not to preach too long, and I get fussed at when I even make that statement. But I'm here to tell you, I want God to change somebody's life this morning. I want God to bring somebody into the fellowship afresh. In fact, I'm hungry to be in a deeper fellowship myself. I was thinking this morning what a responsibility it is to stay dead. You know why a lot of preachers don't like an on-fire preacher? Because they're not on fire, and he intimidates them. Did you know that? You know why some Christians don't like you? Because you're on fire and you intimidate them. You bother them. They know they need that fire too. They really know that. Hallelujah. Well, let me try to bring you to a conclusion here. This text is absolutely marvelous because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Is that not what this world is saying? You get out there and sin. And you get a good job. And before you know it, you got more money than you can hardly spend. You say, I'm not there. Well, neither am I. I don't want to be there. I have no interest in being there. I really have no interest in being there. I just want to work for God. I want to count for God. But this crowd says, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. The Lord says, you're not. You think you're blessed. You think you got so much. He said, you're poor and you're miserable and you're naked. Isn't that amazing to see people who may be driving the prettiest car in town and living in the fancy mansion, and yet they're poor and they're miserable? I mean, I know so many of them, it's unreal. They're just miserable. And they think that they think they can claim to be happy because they got everything they want. No. There is no such thing as happiness in sin. There is no such thing as happiness in sin. Do you remember about the prodigal son when he was sitting on the pig fence? And he was feeding the husk to the pigs and eating the husk of the pigs himself, the Bible said, for no man gave unto him. And the Bible said, sitting there on that pig fence, he came to himself. He suddenly had this awakening. He suddenly had this almost like a vision. Almost like a vision. He suddenly realizes where he's sitting, what's in front of him, and what's back there at home where he left some years earlier, and he comes to himself. And you know what he says? I'm going home. Amen. Would everybody in the building say with me, I'm going home? Come on, everybody. I'm going home. Come on, everybody. I'm going home. Hallelujah. Could we stand together as I finish this sermon? Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Listen to me. Could everybody hear this? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He's not rebuking you because he don't love you. I'm not rebuking anybody here. If it seems like to somebody I am, I'm not. I'm not at all. He says, He says, as many as I love, I rebuke. He said, I'm rebuking you because I love you. Because I care about you. I'm chastening you. The feeling in your heart of conviction, the chastening that you feel inside is just my love. That's what Jesus is saying. It's just my love calling you back to me. Isn't that wonderful? That the God of heaven and the Son of God of heaven would actually take you into his heart and call you back to him. Hallelujah. I don't know how long you've been away from him, Yvette. How long was it? 20? 20 years? 30 years? I don't know. But it's got to be a miserable place. A miserable situation. Thank God. Thank God. She came home. But listen. And I'm not trying to use Yvette this morning. I'm sorry, Yvette. I hope you don't bother. It doesn't bother. But I want to tell you. He's calling. He is calling. We have a precious song, Brother Steve. And I want to give an invitation out of my heart this morning. If there's anybody in this building. Anybody. Oh, I wish we had a pianist and we could sing just as I am without one plea, but that I come to thee. Hallelujah. Glory. Do you love him? Pray, will you? Every believer, raise your hand up and pray with Brother Chambers. Would you do that? Every believer. Now, Father, I pray for anybody in this building that this morning is time for them to come home. That you're calling, that you're inviting, that you are literally invoking, and they feel the call of it. I pray in Jesus' name that they will make a choice. Now, I want to tell you, in this building, nobody will be condemned or judged if you come or if you don't come. And don't you feel that anybody will put you down, whatever you do. But we invite you in the name of Jesus to come to him. Come to him. He will not fail you. He will love you. He will care for you. And there is no love like his love. There really isn't. There is no love like his love. So come home this morning. I invite you. Step out of your seat and say, I'm coming to Christ. Hallelujah. While the music plays. In the name of him who died for you. The Master, the Savior, the great Redeemer. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. How marvelous is his love. Reach up your hand and pray, will you? Father, we pray in Jesus' name that Christ may be glorified. Is there someone who would like to step out and come? We invite you. We invite you. Oh, we will love you. We will care for you. We will minister to you. You will be on our heart, I promise you, in the name of the Lord. In the name of him who died on the tree. That great Redeemer who loves you and me. What a Redeemer. What a Savior. Listen, what a song. Step a hand up and love on him. Hallelujah. Would you like to come? How many of you can raise a hand and say, I'm going to serve God like I never have. I want to be on fire. 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 Is there one away from him would come now? Step out. You're invited. We'll help you pray. All you got to do is come to him and say, I'm ready. Lord, I'm on my way home. I'm coming back. I'm going to be his forever now. Come, sir. Come, lady. Come, friend. Hallelujah. I'm depending and I'm waiting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you know the need. I just reach out to these wonderful people. I preach your word out of my heart the best I know how. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's never let you down. He'll never let you down. He's never let you down. I'm coming, Brother Chambers. I'm stepping out. I'm coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Would you give him a wave offering as we wait, as we invite? Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus reaches to your heart. Hallelujah. I will not seek to persuade. It's an invitation. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. That's right. Give him a wave offering, Brother Dylan. I love it. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Just stand right there. Come, brother. Stand with him, Brother Marlon. Hallelujah. Our dear friends coming back to Christ. I think he told me in the hallway, he'd been away. Did you not, brother? Hallelujah, Brother Miller. Hallelujah. I'm turning to Christ. I give him my life. I give him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody else. There's probably another. I don't know. Would you like to step out and come?